Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
It is.
Yeah, I was trying to ask you this question for a while. This year, you were at Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
The two gentlemen down there, I don't know if you were there working at that time, and if you know of them. There's a gentleman they call Willie. He used to be a cook, but he used to sing in Sing Out Barbados. You come across him?
No, I remember Sing Out Barbados, but I don't specifically remember Willie. I remember other people in Sing Out Barbados. So.
Right. There was a gentleman by the name of Freddie Savory. He used to be a bartender.
Again, heard of him, but that was before my time. I came late to the party in a lot of cases. That place, there were a lot of people who had multiple roles. There was a guy who, I was told he was once a room service waiter. When I went to work, he was a messenger, but he played in a steel band in the night. So, you know, there were people at Paradise who had multiple roles.
I will tell you the time when they were there. They were there in about
70s.
70s.
Yeah, okay. I came in the 80s. So as I said, I came in on the end of a lot of them. More than likely, before my time.
Yeah, because I already talked about Paradise. I thought that
it was very much a part of my life.
Because what happens is when I got married, the cook, really, he bought some of the cooking way.
Mm-hmm.
And he cooked for me and Savory's, who works in the bar for me.
Okay.
He worked for free.
Tell you, boy, the good old days, huh?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm not bad. And you?
Yeah, I'm wonderful, thank you. I quite enjoyed your conversation with Wendell today.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, I find that we don't want to talk about these things in Barbados. We get caught up with a lot of useless things. But what you talk about, the only way you can have success in having those things done is if we can treat to the colonized mind. And you know the colonized mind makes us think that everything about us is bad and that we can produce nothing good. So our culture is not good, our talent is not good. There is a wonderful lady called Viola Davis. She was a past senator in Barbados. She has written a book, Trampling on the Graves of the Ancestors. About 3 years ago, I went to the ministry, and with their help, they published it. It is for school children. It sets out about our past and how what has happened, and she even suggested things and how we can fix ourselves. But nobody knows. I have sent it into schools, all the schools, but nobody pays attention to this book as far as I know. I wish that we can start to educate ourselves, and especially ourselves as parents, because we need to educate our children. Because if not, they are going to be slaves again quite easily. And I wish that more conversations like this could occur on the radio. Thank you.
Thank you very much as well. It would have to be encouraged. It would have to be someone willing to talk about it. Those conversations should take place in schools. I don't know if they do. I don't know if they don't. I haven't been at school in years. But certainly, when I was at school and it would start happening, there were those who would say, this keeping us back, this conversation going nowhere. You're just arguing all the time. We want to study. And by study, they meant we wanted to read what the teacher wrote and write it back so we could pass the exam. But there are people who learn from discussion. There are people who learn from listening to two people arguing or sometimes agreeing on a point of view, and they could pick up something they wouldn't pick up because they don't like to read. People learn in different ways. I don't think a lot of the things I know I learned from in school, I learned listening to people talk and picking sense out of nonsense, as they say, and sometimes disagreeing. I just find that when I try to engage or listen to young people, especially those in the schools, when my children were at school and I'd listen to them, they seem to be, when they're on their own, have a conversation that was completely different to the conversations they had with their parents about schoolwork. And I found that strange, because the conversations they had among themselves, to me, was more enlightening than the conversations they had about schoolwork. They seemed to believe that schoolwork was something they had to do to pass the exam, and once they pass the exam, then they go on to doing something else that they liked. When you listen to them talking about the latest video game or the latest, what do you call these characters? The cause, whatever it is, characters. Yeah, whatever it is. Don't remember the name now. Off the top of my head, I just used to go, okay. But their conversations, they were engaging, they were enlightened, they were, you could feel the passion when they talked about it. Of course, I didn't know what they were talking about because it went clean over my head. But that's why I made the comment earlier about the difference in what our parents told us and our grandparents told us. Yeah. And what happens today? Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today?
I'm all right.
Johnson?
I'm okay.
Okay. I heard the news, the 12:30 news. I listened to that. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear the program prior to it today. But I think I heard the president or secretary, Pedro Shepherd of the BUT. Hello?
So I'm listening to you. You heard the president of the BUT, Pedro Shepherd.
Right. He made a comment about the incident and the teacher. He was saying that he mentioned this most probably to government many years ago. And nothing has been done about it. But Mr. Johnson, this is not a case primarily for no government. DB, Conservative, Johnson's party, my party, no party. Not until law is passed, holding parents responsible for their children's behavior at home, at school, and on the road. I'm going to tell you why. No little boy in short pants. If he's ill-mannered and bad behavior in the classroom, bet $100 for it. He's bad behavior and ill-mannered at home. And that is where it starts. I heard Mr. Shepherd, talking about the community and the church. You know, before you get into the community, before you get into church, you are with your parents or one of them. So it is there that this starts. And if a child is disciplined and given the right teaching at home, a young boy in short pants, even in fifth form, he would think a million times before he behaves like that in the school.
Can I ask you?
Yes, sir.
I know it's an unfair question to ask you.
No, it ain't no unfair.
No, it's unfair. I tell you why it's unfair. Because I don't think.
You're a grandparent yet?
No. No, and that's why I'm about to tell you that I think is an unfair question. When you look at some of the people you see walking around with children of impressionable age today, do you get the impression that they're able to exercise parental control of the type you're talking about on those children?
If it were law, they would either have to
conform,
take on that responsibility.
Or don't have children?
No. or go a place where the children will go a place where they will be disciplined and taught the right things in life or how to come through. Because, I don't know, you told me, not me personally face to face, but when I hear your mouth things, you would have been a young boy here around the garrison at your uncle and your auntie and granddad and thing.
Granddad. Granddad's left when I came. That's why I have no grandchildren. I threaten my children that if they have grandchildren, I go. Sorry,
Mr. Johnson,
I should say that. Yes, sir.
There was, this is a new name for Dodds now, but then it was a boy, the Dodds, but the place for children.
Youngsters who are young ladies, yeah.
And if you can control your child, he or she would have been sent to Dodds. And I think they need that type of thing now, again. I believe it's still on the statute books. And to add to that is when a parent does not supervise, do something with them, child to Dodds and them to prison.
Well,
because
sir,
do something with his parents.
Yeah, but sir, let me say why I asked your question, why I said it was unfair. I have observed, just moving around, young people with children, and just from their appearance, and I may be judging them incorrectly or harshly, but from their manner of dealing with the children, I get a sense that they're more a frustration to them than an upliftment of the quality of their life.
No, you don't go look for the words, they're keeping them back. Children keeping back the mothers and fathers.
Right.
Well, some fathers don't have fathers.
Yesterday, for example, while stuck in traffic, I saw a young lady walking with a child who was maybe about 3 years old and pulling the child along and screaming into his cell phone with tears running down her cheek. Now, that child is going to feel that emotion.
Yes.
Before it understands what the screaming and the crying is about.
Yes.
And she was going to, in the direction of the NIS building and the other building where you go for unemployment relief. So that may have been part of a problem. So if you have a young lady who, let's say, seems to me to be under the age of 20, maybe she's older and she looks young for her age, but she looks under the age of 20 with a three-year-old child who's having financial problems, who's having emotional problems, who perhaps are having other problems that need to be addressed. Can she see to the needs of a three-year-old? I had a caller on this program who was talking about her child who has some learning challenges, being tutored online by a teacher who was holding a crying child in Pampers, and, you know, she didn't think it was right. And I was trying to explain to her that here's a parent, a young parent, who's a teacher, who's trying to split her responsibilities because of the COVID challenges between an infant child that needs her attention and a student that needs her attention. Somebody is going to feel shortchanged in that exercise. And if we have children growing up in an environment where, and you hear it on the news, you read it in the newspaper, a grandparent saying, they got gunshots all out by we all the time. And when I hear it, I'll grab the children and duck on the floor. Where you have fireworks going off in the night and people asking, wait, that's gunshots? You're living in an environment that can't be the same as when you grew up on a plantation or walk through the cane piece at 10 o'clock in the night with a chossel, and the only thing you had to look out for was the heart man. Although the woman already carried away your heart, perhaps you should look for the heart woman. But, you know, so the point I'm making is the dangers were different, the stories were different, the realities were different. And we're fighting a battle that sometimes we don't know what the battle is. And that's why I said to one of my callers, if you identify the wrong thing, you can fix the wrong thing. So I don't disagree with you, the parents need help. But we got Parados.
A lot of help.
We didn't have Parados 50 years ago, but we have Parados today. But people don't take up, they don't take up the offer. They don't go and say, I need help.
Mr. Johnson, let me say this.
Because they're fighting to hold on to their job.
You know, just like we have some professors here now, hardly went to school, and if you hear them telling you what COVID really is, and it's in this thing, and you could do that, and they could hardly write the name, but they're professors and got people following them. The same thing happening with parents, especially mothers, who have this idea that whatever they did, or are doing. It ain't no problem if the children do it.
True.
I'm telling you, what hurt me is when I heard Mr. Shepherd saying the church. What? Church ain't getting a chance to go to church.
So the church has lost.
Because when the mother or father or uncle, whoever raised them, come home, church time just upon you or actually gone. So there ain't no church. It is the parent. I want to hear more emphasis laid on parents not taking the responsibility for the raising of their children.
I just tell you, because I think some of them can't, sir. That's the truth, and they're afraid to say that I can't. They can't. Sir, honestly, my belief is that there are lots of people who have found themselves in a parenting role that have no idea what to do because they have neither emotional support, financial support, affection for the person with whom they are the child, and for the child itself,
for
themselves.
What I would like to see reinstituted, when the probation office comes into it and they do their assessment, that child is taken from the parent and put in an institution where the child will have to go to school and learn the finer things of life and hopefully will be a better child as it goes. Because if your parents are incapable of raising you,
they should be taken from
you. That's all you have to do.
All right, sir. But I could tell you're going to run into some very heavy waters with that. I could promise you that. Because
all you got to do, got some life jacket.
The jacket. I think that's the problem in a lot of cases. I'm glad you saw it.
You're naughty today.
I always naughty. I just keep it under control.
You have a good day.
You too, sir. This was a pleasure. It really was.